The Carolina Panthers are sending Deontay Johnson to the Baltimore Ravens. So Kansas City goes out, gets an edge rusher, and D-Hop. Baltimore says, okay, we'll play that game. We'll go get a better receiver, Deontay Johnson.
And now Mahomes looking right. Now the back of the end zone, caught! DeAndre Hopkins, welcome to the Chiefs' kingdom! Your first kingdom touchdown!
The Chiefs should be concerned about this game. At every level defensively versus the Chiefs' offense, the Texans should win. Advantage Texans because you've already gotten used to Mahomes. Chiefs should be concerned about this game.
And they give it off. Kareem Hunt lowers the shoulder and takes a Texan right into the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City.
Am I giving Houston a chance? Of course.
Chiefs look to the triangle side out route. It is caught. Touchdown. Left front pylon. Xavier Worthy is having a game.
I definitely see this O-line. It definitely has its leap holes, and it definitely has its their struggles. But, you know, I feel like that we can take advantage of that. You know, we got an elite D-line. You know, I feel like Pat's a little banged up, so I don't know if he's going to play or not. But I hope he's mobile enough because we coming in Arrowhead.
You guys plan to get after that?
Yeah, for sure. Pat better make a good decision. I ain't making no threats. I'm making promises.
Mahomes on the far hash in the pocket, stepping up and trying to squeeze through, stays on his feet. 10, 5, Mahomes is into the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City on that bad ankle, stepping through the pocket, running all the way to the sweet nectar of the end zone.
I don't know about you, but I'm about to jump through this damn glass, man.
Woo! Don't do that, you'll get cut. You don't want to hurt yourself before the
game. Yeah, but I'll bleed red on Red Friday.
Oh, I see what you did there. You know your blood is actually blue until it hits the air, people say.
Thank you, Mrs. Todd Haley, my 8th grade science teacher.
You had Todd Haley as your 8th grade science teacher? Is that what you said, Mrs. Todd Haley?
Yep, Mrs. Todd Haley.
Yeah.
She was a mean chick, but she did me well.
But you know what? Those are the teachers you remember, you know?
God bless Miss Creech, too. She was a great teacher.
Creech. I was talking about Miss Clark. She was fresh out of college when I was in high school, and she used to wear mini skirts back in the 80s and sit on that desk and flip her shoe and try to teach me algebra, and I didn't understand algebra.
You learned how to figure out slope pretty quick.
But I'll tell you what. She gave
me... Y equals MX plus B.
Yeah. E equals MC squared. Thank you, Miss Clark. And Miss Ambrosio, too. Ooh, the two of them together. Huh.
Easy.
Deep
Stay
breath.
Focused, Fesco.
Deep breath. But she told me, and I was a freshman in 1991, I'm not going to spoon feed you. Figure it out. And I resented her for that. But that was some of the best advice that I got. Figure it out yourself. And then you can figure it out yourself and learn how to do it. And I'm like, all right.
I think the most relevant knowledge I ever got in middle school was when you don't put your name on your paper in high school, they'll just throw it away. First time I didn't put my name on a paper, who wrote The Catcher in the Rye? I was like, I did. Like,
no, okay. You're not J.D. Salinger.
No, but they were saying you had to do like a report on it. And they're like, who wrote this paper? And I was like, I did. Let me see your other paper so I can match your handwriting. Okay, put your name on the paper. They told me in middle school, they're going to tell you a lot of stuff.
Yeah, right. They're not going to throw it away. I forgot to put my name on something. You make a mistake, so we throw everything. That's bad advice, actually.
That's what they told us.
If you make a mistake, we're throwing you away.
Yeah.
Got to throw it away?
I know that we talked about this a lot this week with the left tackle situation. I want to... like get away from that.
I do too.
And I think a lot of people, the reason why a lot of people lean towards the DJ Humphrey stuff is because they think that they could run the ball better if Joe Tooney plays guard and Humphrey plays left tackle. You can kind of dictate where you want this game to go with the running game. I've already said to myself multiple times, the Chiefs aren't going to run the football, but they do have a two-headed monster that to me is like the bullpen for the Royals in 14 and 15. If Mahomes and co can get up early, quickly and get up like, you know, 28 to 10 going into the third, you know, late in the third quarter. That's a big lead. You can then just Davis, Holland, whatever, Herrera, however you want to put those guys in. You can go Pacheco for two, Kareem Hunt for three.
Do not put your Dono in the middle of the game.
No, they won't do that. That'd be like putting like Xavier Worthy back there, like when you're up 28 to 10, go run a stretch. He gets popped, fumbles, they take it to the house. All of a sudden, it's like, okay.
It's 28-17, and we're like, the beer sales have stopped.
What I will say is that I think they can, this is the way I would love to see the Chiefs go through this playoff run, is kind of how like they did it in 14 and 15 with the Royals. Get up big with your offense that has all its weapons back, but Rashee Rice. Hollywood Brown's there. Xavier Worthy, who's been a great rookie, kind of doing that same Rashee Rice role where it got better and better as the season went on and more trust, big trust, came around for Xavier Worthy. You also have veterans in Juju and Travis and in DeAndre. Use those guys early. Use Patrick Mahomes in that God mode sort of thing. This is all a perfect case scenario. And then when you get to the mid, the third quarter, and the fourth quarter, then you just absolutely punch these teams in the mouth with your combo running back. They don't have the David Montgomery and the Jahmyr Gibbs. They don't have the lightning and thunder. They just have, damn it, they have thunder and thunder. And both of these guys are running with a purpose. Isaiah Pacheco wants to show that he can run in this league for a couple more years after if it doesn't happen with Kansas City in a couple years. Kareem Hunt's running to win a Super Bowl. Those are two things that both of these guys have a lot of motivation to do. And to me, when you have powerful runners with motivation that their role is to be the hammer, like Mitch Holtis says, put the hammer down, that's never been more relevant in my life than having Pacheco and Kareem Hunt be your two running backs. And oh, by the way, you can sprinkle a little Samaje Perine in there too and really take the time out of the game being up. Whether it's seven, whether it's three, you can really dictate what you want to do with these two guys punching the defense in the mouth. And when you have an aggressive defensive line like the Houston Texans do, you can really get them on their heels to not know where they're going to go. And then that opens up everything else in a late game if you want to really put it away. Hey, play action, boom, over the top.
I'm just excited that we have two running backs for the first time all year. And really for the first time, maybe since Dan Williams and Darrell Williams back in the day, you know? I mean, those two guys were really good running backs for this organization. And they were good because they were able to split the time and carry the load 50% and not have to be the guy that was relied on 100% of the time. And when this season started, who were our running backs on the roster, right? We had
Pacheco, Carson Steele, Samaje Perine.
Right, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire at the time. Right? Not exactly a who's who of running backs. We're actually better at the running back position than we were when we started the season here in Kansas City. And how do you get better? Well, you go out and you added Kareem Hunt, who was off the couch, came in fresh, ready to go, gave you what you needed. And now you reach the end of the season, and a guy that you got because of injury that you normally wouldn't have had on this roster. Like, Kareem Hunt is not on this roster if Isaiah Pacheco gets injured. And so you hate to say, wow, an injury was a good thing to happen. But looking back on that Pacheco injury, that could have been a great thing, because now is the time of year where you really do and should rely on that ground game. It's going to be 20 degrees at kickoff on Saturday afternoon, right? You know who doesn't want to get hit? A defensive back by a thick running back coming through the line of scrimmage, right? They don't want to get rolled over by one of those guys. And the Chiefs have two thick, big, bruising running backs that are going to deliver punishment on a 20-degree, I guess you could say, twilight time of day. It's going to get dark, it's going to get cold, and it's going to get ugly out there.
It's going to get windy, too.
And yeah, it is. The wind is supposed to pick up.
Precipitation doesn't really affect it unless you're going to watch that Philadelphia game, which is going to be nuts.
Yeah.
But it's one of those.
But the wind is going to be a factor in this game. And so I go back to that injury for Isaiah Pacheco. And while we were all devastated at that time, looking back, hindsight being 2020, here we sit in January, and I'm like, boy, that injury could have been a blessing in disguise, because without that injury, we don't have Kareem Hunt. And I don't know how great the running back position is, because Carson Steele stinks. Samaje Perine is a, you know, here or there type of guy,
for what his role is.
For his role.
Yeah.
But if we didn't have Hunt and Pacheco, you'd have to rely on Perine more. And when you have a Johnny Giovitella, I'll use, and you overexpose him, then you realize that Johnny Giovitella isn't that good, right? And so that's where you kind of were with Samaje Perine. You didn't want to overexpose him. He's a veteran, been around a long time. He's getting up there in age, right? So now you got Kareem Hunt. Now you got Isaiah Pacheco. And now you've got two guys for the coldest, hardest month to play in and win football games. You've got two bruisers, man, that can split time, stay fresh, be healthy, and go out there and help you win football games. I love this two-headed monster at running back.
Wouldn't be a Fesco show without this.
Did you consider Brett for Miller?
Did Will Chamberlain or Danny Manning, have they reached out to Wiggins?
You think I'm a damn fool?
And also just wanted to double-check that Dan Kilgore is going to practice today.
I'm sick and tired of all this bullshit.
Coach, we appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us.
From the 816, blood carries oxygen through the body, moron. It's a consistent interaction with oxygen. Coming up on the other side, the voice of Chiefs, Mr. Holtis, joins us here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at TheFan965 for behind-the-scenes content from the show. Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Diving right back into it.
I would just like to say congratulations to Bob Fesco and Dusty for being named the number one radio show in Kansas City.
Oh.
An honor well deserved. Looking forward to many, many more great mornings with you guys. Congratulations again.
All right.
How about that? Look at that. Was that Mac who said that?
Mac hit puberty for the second time in his life.
Yeah. Like,
could have come in here with a damn beard on Monday.
Shout out to our guy, Gene Watson, assistant GM of the White Sox, who we just decided to make our baseball insider for the year.
Yeah. Mitch Holtis will join us here in about 7 minutes. The voice of the Chiefs. I'm doing my best to stay focused, Mitch, but it's hard because it's playoff time. But there is an injury report out for the Houston Texans and the Kansas City Chiefs. Everybody healthy for the Kansas City Chiefs, minus one name, which was Mecole Hardman. Mm-hmm. I assume he'll be a wait and develop. And if they continue to move on, then we'll start to see his name become more questionable. But Azeez Al-Shaahir was questionable with the knee injury all week. He did not practice Tuesday. He was limited Wednesday and Thursday, questionable for the game on Saturday. Also, the big name that's also questionable, Joe Mixon. He's going to play.
He
did not practice Thursday, but like we had both told Mac yesterday, you kind of beat me to it. Veterans Day off, right?
Yeah,
like,
it's Friday.
Right. And then another one that's kind of big in this situation, at least maybe doesn't move the needle for a lot of people, Robert Woods being questionable. They're already down Tank Dell. Nico Collins is a bona fide G and a certified stud. And
down Stephon Diggs too. Yeah.
Right. And he's out. So if Bob Woods is questionable or can't, you know, go throughout the entire game, then you can just zone in on 12 and have him beat you with Dalton Schultz, which C.J. Stroud, again, young quarterback in a hostile environment, which will be Saturday. It'll be rocking. It'll be cold. It'll be windy. It'll be loud. All the above. Check them all off for the Arrowhead crowd. And, you know, like they say in the movie, welcome to the Thunderdome, man. Like, it's not a dome. It's wide open. It's cold. This ain't Houston. This is Kansas City. It's Saturday. It's going to be 20 degrees, windy and cold. And you got some questionable marks on your roster with some big name players.
The Joe Mixon one, to me, I know he's playing in this game. But, boy, if you're banged up, the cold weather doesn't help, right? So you target those injuries. That's what players do in the NFL. They'll go after Joe Mixon or somebody that's banged up a little bit. It happens all the time in the NFL. You want to make them feel that pain, as they like to say in this league, right? And so I'm sure there'll be, you know, extra hits put on Joe Mixon or whoever, Dalton Schultz, or if they're going to beat you with Dalton Schultz and Dalton Schultz beat you, then fine, tip your cap to them. Congratulations to you. But, you know, everything gets ramped up in the playoffs. The hits are harder. The hits hurt a little bit more. It's colder. It's nasty out there.
The clock is faster
in the playoffs as well.
Emotions are higher.
Yeah, you better be ready to go. Like, it's going to speed up for everybody on Saturday afternoon. Now, the Houston Texans, they've got playoff experience, man. They've got three games in the postseason, so I don't want to say they're a grizzled veteran type of team, but they are. They've got that postseason experience, so they understand. But this is now coming to Arrowhead Stadium, right? You've never played a postseason game here with this era of the Houston Texans. I doubt there's anybody left on that team from 2018, 2019 that came in here to Kansas City. I guess that would have been 2020, January 2020. I can't imagine there's anybody left on that roster, really, that was part of that collapse here in KC. So it's a different experience for everybody. Joe has played here, Mixon, with the Bengals, obviously. But for everybody else, man, this is going to be like, oh, this is what the playoffs are about. Yeah, it was fun inside in Houston. It was okay in Baltimore. Nice crowd. Right, but now this is Kansas City. This is a different level of, oh my God, the fans are on top of us, the crowd's ready to go, everything that factors in. This is going to be an eye-opening experience for a lot of these Texan players, and so that's why you got to hit them in the mouth early, man. Deliver those blows, deliver that punishment, and go out there and solidify this win right from the start.
Not only that, like, the big conversation all week has been, you know, rest and rust and all that. These fans, man, they ain't rusty.
No.
These fans are ready. They've been rested. They've been able to, you know, financially put things away to go big in this divisional round and probably also go big in the if they get to the AFC Championship round.
It ain't cheap.
No, it's not. But, you know, that is a huge factor. I mean, look, we'll watch that game in Buffalo and Baltimore. That crowd in Buffalo will be electric.
Oh, God, yes.
And, you know, I think Lamar has a better chance than C.J. Stroud to quiet a crowd. I don't think C.J. Stroud has the ability yet to go into Arrowhead in the playoffs, in the temperatures that are frigid, where this team just seems to turn it up and turn it on when it comes to the playoffs, because they've done it so many times. They've done it often. The home field advantage is massive. The weather is going to be beneficial to the Chiefs, whether you want to believe that or not, because they've done it. They played in one of the coldest games ever last year.
Yeah, the weather is such an advantage.
And like, they even asked Mahomes after the game, in that Miami game, they're like, did the weather have, he's like, no, I'm not going to lie to you. It was cold. It was real cold. But you know, in the playoffs, you have to take those things and not make them a factor. I'm sure, Bob, that there's going to be some Houston Texans players that go out there shirtless and try to
be. There will be.
And we talked to Nate Taylor about that yesterday. He was like, yeah, there was a game where players were getting shirtless and they ended up losing the game. Seattle did that a couple years ago. This is a game where not only are the players ready to get out there and knock somebody's head off, these fans were out there to shout their heads off, and it will be an absolute factor.
I love the fact that players are going to want to take their shirts off and be out there and try to send a message, you know, lube yourself up with Vaseline to kind of protect yourself from the cold a little bit. They'll go out there. I don't know how long you're going to be able to last out there in that cold with no shirt on. I don't care what kind of athlete you are. That's ridiculous to go do something like that. Like, it gets to a point where, like, it's just too cold. I'm a man. I play in the NFL. I don't need to prove it by taking my shirt off.
Stay focused, Dusty. Stay focused, Dusty.
He's been the voice of Chiefs Kingdom since 1994.
Stays in bounds, 15, 10, 5, touchdown! Kansas City, Damian Williams runs to immortality!
Here's Mitch Holthus on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5, The Fan.
Oh boy, stay focused is an understatement this week. Mitch Holthus brought to you by Silverstein Eye Centers. Achieve your best vision and experience outstanding patient care at Silverstein Eye Centers. Brought to you also by GEHA. GEHA is the proud partner of the Kansas City Chiefs. Mitch, I got a hammer in each pocket. Hell, I got a hammer in my hoodie pouch to throw down this weekend, man. It's really hard, Mitch, to stay focused right now.
Pace yourself, buddy. Coach Reed would say pace yourself. Pace yourself. We're 38 hours out, but yeah. And I'm getting ready to speak at a major convention at the Kansas City Convention Center, and you can just feel the buzz already in this place.
Oh, look at you at a major convention.
Yeah, how you doing?
Who's the convention?
Well, Coach K was here Wednesday night. It's Advisors XL, which is a big company that hatched. Three small-town Kansas guys started this amazing company that's now worldwide. But anyway, it's a great story. But still, everybody's just – the vibe and the undertone is like, wow, tomorrow's going to be a big deal. So it's like my son had a friend who ran 10,000 meters in Nebraska. And you'd go, you guys ever watched a 10,000 meter run?
I watched the 100 meter run.
No. So you're sitting there going, when's this over? It lasts like 30 minutes,
yeah.
Right? And you're like, when's this over? And then all of a sudden you're going, there's out of 35 laps or whatever, it's like three laps to go, and you're like, oh my gosh, now what's going to happen? Because you see all the runners like go to a different level. It's like a marathon kind of. Anyway, that's where we're at. We're really close to the eventual goal, incredible goal, so we're right here.
Yeah, and it's good that it's on Saturday for all of our sanity, I think, that we don't have to wait that extra day till Sunday. You know, like, let's go. Be the first game and kick this thing off and then sit back for the rest of the weekend. I like the time slot.
We might lose Dusty if it was on Sunday. He would be rolling down Shawnee Mission Parkway just doing somersaults.
There's no might. It would be.
Okay, that's what I thought. Yeah, so anyway, yeah, I'm with you. It's good that it's going to be Saturday at 3:30, and let's roll. It's really, I think, in my opinion, one of the more historic divisional playoff games in NFL history because of what's at stake. And there's always – every playoff game, you sensed it last week in the wild card games, that the tide rises, right? It's a high tide, and everything gets faster, and Coach Reed talks about it all the time. But this game in specific has some unique elements to it that make it separated in some ways from other divisional playoff games for both teams.
How so? Like what's the history? Let's start with the Chiefs first and foremost. Obviously, the three-peat is the number one thing.
Yeah, that's where it – that's the crux of the matter, is you're dealing with something that's never been done. And if the Chiefs pull it off, it will transcend the NFL. It'll be one of the greatest feats in American sport history. Mm-hmm. And I think it'll have a feel of the 72 Dolphins to it. But for Houston guys, they came into being in 2002. They have never won in the divisional round. This is the biggest game tomorrow of the Houston Texan franchise's history. If they win, they go to the AFC Championship game for the first time ever. So they come in with a whole lot more on the line than a normal team would in a divisional playoff round. And we also know what's at stake for the Chiefs.
Yeah, obviously a ton at stake for Kansas City. And you know, there's a lot of legacy, though, to kind of sidebar this a little bit. There's a lot of legacy for Sean McDermott, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson on Sunday in that game. I still think the biggest legacy thing is Patrick Mahomes winning that three-peat and cementing him as the greatest quarterback of all time. But there's a lot on the line for all the teams in the AFC.
Well, and we're getting close, though, too, to Andy Reid cementing himself. I know Belichick's got the 6 Super Bowls, but Andy's setting 5 behind Belichick in all-time playoff wins. Ooh. And Belichick in North Carolina is stuck in the mud. He ain't going to get any more coaching there. So coach can roll past him as well. But, yes, for Buffalo and for Baltimore, they're also looking at their own destiny here, history, places they haven't gone. Baltimore's been there, but not with Lamar Jackson. And we know what Buffalo's history has been. So, yeah, this weekend is just phenomenal.
Mitch, I love the analogy you gave us about how this Houston defensive line and the defense is kind of like playing a press team in basketball. And when you give this explanation, I will have a follow-up.
Thank you, Brad.
The Houston Texans' best way to win this game tomorrow has been their modus operandi for the season, and that is pressure, which leads to takeaways on defense. And then I think the most athletic secondary overall, nothing against our guys, but this is like a bunch of wide receivers playing DB. Lassiter's interception last week against the Chargers, it causes you to pause it, go back and look at it. It's a dynamic play. We know what their pass rushers are. We know that they're fourth in sacks, but they dumbed it down their last week 18, which convoluted their stats. But we also know Daniil Hunter led the league in pressures. But they don't just get pressure on the quarterback. They get sacks and strips and fumble recoveries. Think of last week. They torment Justin Herbert into 4 interceptions, but one of those is a pick 6. Their 4 interceptions equaled 108 yards. And I've been saying special teams, they have a blocked punt and a blocked PAT for 2. This is a team that wants to gamble. They also gave up the 3rd most touchdowns in the league through the air this year. So think about those 2 stats in the fact that they're going to go for the interception. They're going to go for the steal in basketball, try to trap you in the backcourt. But any great basketball coach will teach their players, we want them to press us. Because if they press us and we break the press, we're going to go dunk at the other end. Mm. So you have to have a mindset to handle it. But this is a Houston team. It's the Gamblers with the old USFL team. But this team is the Houston Gamblers in the secondary in many ways because of the way their aggressive nature.
Mitch, I want to bring this up, too, as we go from basketball to baseball. I talked about this earlier with the 2 running backs that spearhead this backfield for the Chiefs who have been rested, not rusty. They get to go into this game, cold environment, could be pretty windy, could be really, really chilly. If you have a lead going into the fourth quarter, that's when you bring in your 7th, 8th, and 9th in bullpen guys to just close the game and move on. You can do that very well with Kareem Hunt and Isaiah Pacheco back there, in my opinion.
Throw in P-Ryan. Exactly. Every conversation... Yeah. You've got HDH. You've got the 7th, 8th, and 9th inning guy. And that's what you've got with these guys. And they all bring something a little bit different. We know that Pop Pacheco's got the ability to hit a big run, 43-yard run. That's not necessarily Kareem Hunt, but Kareem Hunt helped save this team this year. Because how many times was there 2nd and 4 and 3rd and 1, and it wasn't 2nd and 12? Because he's getting yards where it looked like he should have had a loss. And with Perine, he's absolutely been a savior. And he has the capability of getting big plays in both the run game and the pass game. Remember the 41-yard touchdown against us?
That's right.
That completely changed the AFC Championship game when he was a Bengal in 2021. All 3 of those guys are factors, Dusty, when you look at what could be, probably will be the conditions for tomorrow's game.
Talking with Mitch Holthus, voice of the Chiefs here on 96.5 The Fan. And I think the other big question that people have this week, and I'm bewildered by it, but whatever, Andy Reid can do what he wants. The left tackle, Mitch, like, what do you think is going to take place there?
Okay, hear me out on this, and you're all going to think I'm dodging the question. But I'm not, from the standpoint people ask. And yet they don't want to hear the answer. And the answer is Andy Reid's preparing for everything and playing both of them. okay?
Right.
Think of Andy Reid's ingenuity here. And this is somewhat of their approach all the time. I have seen in an OTA where they will put, I mean, Adam Teicher's had an awesome career. He's retiring. That was cool what Coach did for him yesterday.
Free burgers.
There was one time Teicher said, hey, the Chiefs have demoted Eric Fisher at left tackle. It was during an OTA or in the summertime. I'm like, no, that's just what they do. They try to train their guys to have two or three options ready to go. So that's what it sounds like, a wishy-washy answer. It's not.
Yeah.
It's reality. Coach Reed's getting ready for both of them. They both could play at the same time.
Yeah, they could, and
Tooney not at guard. Okay, mm-hmm. So just get ready for all of that. And so they're getting everybody ready.
Yeah, it's not a cop out because you know I was doing some sniffing around this week too, and like trying to figure out what's going to take place. And the response I got is, "Hey, we're good with whoever plays left tackle, right? Like they feel good about both guys."
Yeah, and you hope Humphreys can hold up, right? If he's out there. Even if it's 20, 30 snaps, then you're looking at elite pass rushers. Because I mentioned Daniil Hunter, but Will Anderson Jr.
Right.
was last year's Defensive Rookie of the Year. Mm-hmm. But they're middle guys. That's what Coach Reed has been kind of preaching about. And even he mentioned it in the game before, the game on December the 21st. And that was these middle guys aren't getting enough credit. The Danico Autrys of the world, who he blocks the PAT. That ends up being the two-pointer for him. That's a big play. It changed the momentum of the game again. So there's a bunch of those guys, and defensively, and Hunter got their only sack in the game on December 21st on a Mike Blitz. So this is a team that's coming from all angles. I think D'Amico Ryans is a really good coach. I had forgotten. Coach had to remind me back on December 20th that he was with Coach the last year in Philadelphia. But I think D'Amico Ryans is really good, and they've done an excellent job psychologically of overcoming the injury to Tank Dell, which I think affected him the rest of our game on December 21 and crushed them for the Baltimore game. But now they're back. They got some confidence, and they're coming in here ready to roll, but so are the Chiefs. The Chiefs are ready for this game. And being around the guys this week, again, there's just a sense and electricity and excitement. I mean, they're ready to go and kick this baby off.
Mitch, I don't know if you're a big appetizer guy. They kind of give you a little taste, but they don't give you what the actual menu is. Week 16, 27-19 against Houston. They got a little bit of taste to what Arrowhead was, you know, later in the season, temperatures. That was just an appetizer of what today's or tomorrow's big menu item will be when they get to play against that ruckus crowd. The temperatures are going to be frigid. The wind's going to be howling, and C.J. Stroud gets to come into Arrowhead when it really, really matters, when the playoffs step up and you see a different version of Patrick Mahomes. I don't think that Week 16 game really showed them anything. I know that was like really the first time that the offense had kind of been back and moving forward with Hollywood Brown and so on and so forth. But like, you have to think that CJ Stroud, when he gets in this game, when he goes up against guys like Chris Jones and Omenihu and Karloftis, you get him off his spot. He's a great setback passer, gets back there on his spot, and he can pick you apart. But when you play in this crowd and this playoffs with that defensive line that's ready to go, that's rested, you got to think that get him off his rocker, he could get a little bit skeptical out there, a little sketchy, and that defense could really make him pay.
Although I'm a C.J. Stroud fan.
Big time.
He's already done. Last year he was the youngest quarterback in NFL history to win a playoff game. Now he's got 2 in 2 years. Justin Herbert is 41-40. He's into his fifth year and no playoff wins.
Preach.
And this kid last week changed the game. Bad snap. It's 6-0 Chargers.
Mm-hmm.
The Texans really aren't breathing anything. And then he makes a play on the 34-yarder to the Iowa State kid, Hutchinson. Mm. Changed the game. All right, they get a touchdown, 7-6. Still up for grabs. What does he do? Overcome 2nd and 40 to lead a team to a field goal where every point is precious. But, Dusty, I'm with you. Now, one of the things Stroud has is a lightning quick release.
Mm-hmm.
The ball just comes out like a cannon. It's like he doesn't even move his arm. The best thing Patrick does is change arm angles and throw just in perfect accuracy. I was talking about this with Joey Wentz the other day. You know, the left-hander is with the Pirates now. He's been in the big leagues for, 8-9 years. But we were talking about arm angles and being accurate. We were talking about Mahomes. So Mahomes has the quick release as well. But, yes, you've got to – he got sacked unmercifully this year, Dusty.
Mm-hmm.
C.J. Stroud got hit, and sacked maybe 58 times and way more sacks than he took a year ago. And with Omenihu and a fresh Chris Jones – and a fresh Mike Dana, and a fresh George Karloftis, and a secondary that I wouldn't put far behind Houston's in their skill and ability. Yes, you can attack this quarterback, and you can get after him and create situations getting behind the chains or create turnovers. He didn't have as good a year this year, and there's a lot of reasons. He had Nico Collins miss 5 games. He missed Tank Dell some games. Mm-hmm. He had Mixon out for some games. But the fact that Stroud is talented and has the ability to win this game is something you have to take into account. But weather, crowd, this defense, Spags, yeah, they're coming with flamethrowers.
All right, Mitch, a lot, as we lead up to this, it's rinse, repeat, recycle, these national talking heads. Oh, it's rust. It's all this nonsense that I've had to hear. And I think you're in the same boat with me. Like, this is the lowest of low-hanging fruits when you see these people on national TV shows talking about rust in the Kansas City Chiefs. It's like they don't have any clue what has happened for the last 6 or 7 years here in Kansas City.
I'm mystified by it. You don't even have to be... It doesn't take much to research and go, oh, wow, okay. Every kind of weather, every layoffs, no layoffs, Coach Reed after a bye, what they did in 22 in this circumstance. What we've done, and it's just terrifying. You give a dude a Yeti microphone and a basement, and it may be a partial sponsor or some offshoot, sponsor, and they're good to go. Except we're just getting caught with dribble like crazy. Especially if they're like, I'm going to give you gambling information brought to you by Gary's Gamblers.
Right.
And then they're like, what's he saying? And you're going, that's nonsense. Like, so, hey, this is too much rest. This is too much rest. Where before they're going, you got to get the bye.
Right.
You got to get the bye. So it's mom meatloaf.
Yeah.
Seriously.
No doubt.
You know what? I will have some meatloaf. Let's have some meatloaf.
You want some?
I knew you'd come. Hey, Mom! The meatloaf! We want it now! The meatloaf! Mara, the meatloaf!
There's your last podcast from Billy Basement with his Yeti mic.
Mitch.
Wedding crashes. It drives me crazy. I'm like, what are these guys doing or thinking about?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I want to leave you with this and see if you have the same take that I did on this. The Chiefs released a graphic yesterday about the playoffs, and there were...
Yep.
People featured on that graphic, and I looked at it and went, okay, he's now one of the pillars of this organization. It was Mahomes, it was Kelsey, it was Chris Jones, it was Andy Reid, and then it was Trent McDuffie on that graphic. The Chiefs don't do things on accident. I thought that was a very telling graphic by this organization, showing us, the fans, who they believe are like the four pillars of this organization from a player standpoint.
Yeah, and I think it's great when you look at two elite Pro Football Hall of Famers. Chris Jones is headed that way. And McDuffie's career, if it continues on this track, he'll also be in that discussion. I think he's way underrated by the league. And again, this is a Houston secondary that gets a lot of picks. Stingley is the only guy in the league that's had 5-plus picks 2 years in a row. I talked about Lassiter's ability. Eric Murray, the former Chief, with the pick 6 last week. But Trent McDuffie has got to be mentioned in the top 3 or 4 corners in the league. I'm putting him there with Sauce Gardner and Patrick Surtain II. I don't think he gets enough of that discussion from Billy Basement with the meatloaf and the Yeti mic. It's or even people that should know better. He's an absolute pillar, and it's also the dude that he is. If you're around that dude for 20 minutes, you're going, oh, my gosh, this guy could be president of the United States. He's an amazing human being.
Yep.
Amazing human being. He's got incredible skills.
Yep.
And yes, he is a leader.
He is. He's fantastic. His parents are awesome. Everything about that kid is perfect. And he'll be a Chief for a long time.
He's been to Smith Center, Bob.
I know. I was with him.
Yeah. You're his bodyguard at Pooch's.
We were standing out looking at where the amphitheater is going to go in Smith Center. And I looked at him and I said, you know, a little bit of culture shocked coming from the West Coast. He goes, I've never seen so much space.
But he gets it. He related to those people. You know what? He acted like he lived there every day of his life. Can I tell you a real quick story?
Yeah.
And stop me if I told you this, but one of the linebackers on the Smith Center football team was like the cute girl in school, right? She's the great athlete, but she's also like super cute. And he texted me and he said, can you get Trent McDuffie to ask her to homecoming for me? I go, no. Dude, I'm not going to ask Trent McDuffie to ask this girl to go to homecoming with you. But here's what happened. Trent McDuffie acted like, when he was there, acted like he was this kid's teammate. And that's, he would ask a teammate, right? You would ask Dusty, hey, can you ask the really good-looking girl to go to homecoming? But that was a compliment to Trent McDuffie more than anything else. I told McDuff that, and he just started laughing. But that's the way he is. I love the kid, man. He's unreal. But his talent level and his ability to be one of the elite corners in this league is one of the more underrated parts of the NFL right now.
No doubt about it, Mitch. I know you don't have any rust, and you're real well rested for this game on Saturday. Have a great call, and we'll talk to you next Friday as we talk hopefully about an AFC Championship game.
And about a billion storylines to this game. I mean, it's overwhelming when you look at all of it. For a divisional playoff game, man, there's just incredible storylines and excitement with this. So, yeah, let's go, buddy.
No doubt. Stay focused, Mitch.
Usually I have to get you to be focused. Now I got to tell you, just Coach Reed, peak at the right time, man. Don't peak too soon.
Yes, sir. Mitch Holtis, we appreciate it. Take care, buddy.
Have fun, Mitch.
See you, boys.
Mitch Holtis, brought to you by Silverstein Eye Centers. Achieve your best vision and experience outstanding patient care at Silverstein Eye Centers. Brought to you also by GEHA. GEHA is the proud partner of the Kansas City Chiefs. Coming up on the other side, Greenberg. 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Fesco and Dusty. Subscribe and watch the show on YouTube by going to our channel at The Fan 965, Kansas City's FM sports station. 96.5 The Fan.
You just heard the spot there from DM Law. Don't forget, today we're dropping off t-shirts. We, not us, but Carrington Harrison and Rob Brenton, who will be our guest on the roundtable at 9:15. They're dropping off shirts. Thanks to our friends at DM Law. Playoff t-shirts. You know Mike's got this. 11:30 today. CDOT and Rob, your hosts of The Drive, doing you a favor. You want a little playoff shirt? You want to mix it up? I'm sure we've all got our playoff gear that we always wear, but now you have another layer to put on for your Chiefs playoff shirts. And
you'll need layers this weekend.
Definitely need layers. Gonna need layers. We have a new victim of this.
Did you consider Brett for Miller?
Did Will Chamberlain or Danny Manning, have they reached out to Wiggins?
You think I'm a damn fool?
And also just wanted to double check that Dan Kilgore is going to practice today.
I'm sick and tired of all this bullshit.
Coach, we appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us.
Go ahead, Mr. Fesco.
This one comes from my wife today. Did you see Bob Uecker died?
What was your response? Just wait.
There wasn't one.
Okay.
Why would I respond?
Yeah.
I thought maybe you'd have hit her with.
No.
Gosh. Tell me Max Moan doesn't get you.
No. Me saying no in the background for you to stop. It's
crazy. Oh, man.
Did you see the Cubs release new uniforms yesterday?
What?
Powder blues.
Don't want to see it. There's only one powder blue, and it's
no.
No,
I don't like
I'm
that.
I'm out. I don't like that.
They're going powder blue this year.
Look like a damn new Zen can.
Translation, we're not going to be very good at baseball, so look at our new uniforms.
Speaking of Chicago, Mike Greenberg compared a former Chicago legend to a Kansas City legend.
If one of these two quarterbacks wins the Super Bowl, then that quarterback will immediately, especially because they will overwhelmingly likely have to beat Mahomes in his stadium on the way to get there. If they do that, then I think they begin the conversation about whether or not they can become a legitimate rival to Mahomes. Michael Jordan did not have a legitimate rival. He had other great players, other Hall of Famers, Patrick Ewing, Karl Malone, Charles Barkley. None of them is Michael's rival. No one ever said, well, is it Michael's era or is it someone else's era? LeBron James has had rivals. I mean, he's had a much longer career, obviously. But, I mean, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, there are other greats in his era that you could say their accomplishments are at least on his level. I think that one of these two guys has a chance to do that.
I think that is, from what I've heard, I would say over the last 5 years, that is the most intelligent commentary that I've heard about this Kansas City Chiefs dynasty in the last 5 years from a national standpoint. That was brilliant by Mike Greenberg, and he nailed it. He's like, all these people want to say that Mahomes has these rivals. He really doesn't have a rival right now because nobody's finished the task. Nobody's beaten him and then got on and won a Super Bowl. Tom Brady is long retired right now. And the part that I like the most about that Mike Greenberg, he says, if one of these two guys, and he's talking about Allen or Lamar, can beat Mahomes and go win the Super Bowl, he goes, then you can begin the conversation if Patrick Mahomes has a quote-unquote rival. Begin the conversation. Mm-hmm. Because Patrick Mahomes still has many more Super Bowls than those guys would have had. They would each have one if they win the Super Bowl this year, and Mahomes has three already, right? So you can begin the conversation. He's right. Michael Jordan never had a rival. Michael Jordan didn't have a rival. He beat everybody. Mm-hmm. LeBron's gotten beat a couple of times. He was right. Durant and Steph and, you know, guys like that. Mm-hmm. Nobody's beaten Patrick Mahomes and then gone on and won that Super Bowl.
Jordan's biggest rival was the sports books.
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, so we talk about, like, who's Patrick Mahomes' biggest rival. I thought Mike Greenberg put it beautifully. There is no rival right now to Patrick Mahomes.
So I'll go out to the 707 on the text line. You'd rather see the Chiefs, they said, I'm not going to read that part, but who would you rather see, Lamar or Josh Allen in the AFC Championship game?
And that's, again, I don't know the answer to that question. I don't want to see either of them, obviously, but it's going to be one or the other.
Yeah, no choice.
I mean,
I'd rather see Lamar, but I'd rather see the Bills, if that makes any sense.
I think that if you get, so there's two different storylines with both, I think. Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes play again and Mahomes wins. That'd be four times now in the playoffs Mahomes has beaten Josh Allen.
Would he retire if he did that? No. Josh Allen, I'm talking about?
Come on. And then it would be the fact that the narrative would then be Josh Allen cannot beat Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs.
That's right.
That's literally what it would be. Just he cannot do it. And we know in Buffalo things happen in fours. Right, they went to four straight Super Bowls, didn't win one. Mm-hmm. Josh Allen would now play Patrick Mahomes four times in the playoffs and not beat him. That'd be, what, two AFC championship games, two divisionals.
Yeah.
Lamar, on the other side, would then come off of maybe two back-to-back seasons and back-to-back seasons losing to Patrick Mahomes in the AFC championship game.
Mm-hmm.
Then that becomes, okay, Lamar might be really good in the regular season, but he just can't get through the playoffs because he's running into Patrick Mahomes. Because this would be, what, the second time Lamar would play him in the playoffs?
Mm-hmm.
And he would lose both times in the AFC Championship game. So at least he's getting there, but he just can't get over that hump. Can he finally do it? Whereas Josh Allen would be like, dude, fourth time? Fourth loss? Like, to me, I love the Chiefs and Bills rivalry, and I'd rather see that game. But again, it's like you say, you flip a coin and let's just wait until we get there.
Yeah, and here's the thing, too, for me with the whole, like, Mahomes doesn't have a rival. The Chiefs really don't have a rival right now. To have a rival, there has to be back and forth. You win one, I win one. You win one, I win one. That really doesn't happen right now with the Kansas City Chiefs as a team or with Patrick Mahomes as an individual. And so when I heard Greenberg say that, I'm like, finally, we're speaking about what's really going on here. Instead of talking about rust or low-hanging fruit of this or Stank talked about this, Greenberg's like, let's look at the big picture here, man. Like, for whatever reason, Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs, in my opinion, this playoff feel like an afterthought. They feel like they're the sixth or seventh seed that nobody thinks can do anything. Nobody's talking about. I promise you we're going to hear all about this Bills-Ravens game being the real AFC championship or the Super Bowl, whatever nonsense CBS wants to peddle before Murder, She Wrote tomorrow. But Patrick Mahomes, to me, and the Chiefs, to me, feel like almost the Chiefs are in the playoffs, too. They feel like an afterthought. And I believe they feel like they're an afterthought. And that's why they're going to be a dangerous bunch of SOBs come Saturday and then come next week, because everybody's talking about the Kansas City Chiefs like, oh, and the Chiefs are here as well, along with Lamar and Josh, who have combined have no Super Bowls.
Credit to the 816. Patrick Mahomes' biggest rival is Tom Brady and chasing the rings.
That's it. That's a great text. I mean, that really is
it. Take the day.
Yeah.
Take the day. Coming up on the other side, it's Friday. It's 8 o'clock. We do our script. This week, it is the playoff script for the Kansas City Chiefs. Tune in, dial in on Fesco, Dusty, and Mac on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
I just want to say how awesome it is to have Bob Fesco and legend like.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hands on every morning to start my day. I freaking love you guys.
On your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5, the Fan.